through Coder. Yeah, I think so. Well, that's what it says on Spotify. Right?
All right. Welcome to the Realty Growth Report. We've got Tanner Nordland, Nick Pompain today. How are you doing, Nick?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. It's actually a beautiful day here in Rochester, Minnesota. The humidity is not quite there, although I heard we're supposed to get some humidity. But skies are blue and sun is shining. And, man, there's actually people out and about driving around. It's pretty good compared to our last few chats here. It's a definite change, which is it's a welcoming sign.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited for today. We're doing the advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah.
Of investing in real
there
estate.
There are disadvantages, believe it or not, coming from real estate people trying to sell and lease and property. There are some disadvantages that people should know about.
And we're bringing the straight facts.
Yeah, facts.
Straight facts. So I guess we can just jump right into it. I mean, let's start with an advantage. Maybe
sure.
We can hopscotch back and forth.
I mean, I think obviously there's a lot of advantage to owning real estate. And oftentimes I think people say, well, gosh, I don't even know how to get started. I don't know what to do. And, you know, what are the advantages? What are the disadvantages? Why should I buy real estate? I think one of the main ones, obviously, and I think a lot of people realize this, is that it provides an income stream, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot of people tend to buy real estate because it's like, well, you know, I have my 9-to-5 job and that's great and all, but I would like to, and I have my 401k, and but I want something else that would allow me to make some money essentially passively. I mean, really. And well, a great start is a way that you do that is with real estate, and there's an income stream there, right? Because you're taking in rents and
So we're
like
not
that.
Talking about raw land here. We're not talking
no.
about just any real estate.
Right. I mean, you got to look at probably whatever you could do. Oftentimes people start off with a single family home, right? They'll,
mm-hmm.
they'll buy that and rent that out, or a duplex or a triplex, whatever, something like that. But, you know, that can go, you know, income stream, anything, right? Like you could have a building that's on a land lease, right? So anything essentially with a lease, you know, that's going to give you some type of income.
That's what you're looking for
yeah.
that
right.
income stream advantage.
Right. So there's obviously that's a big advantage because that gives you some income from other sources other than your primary job.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of people these days really look for, and it's nice. You know, it doesn't have to take all of your time. It can if you get big enough and you want to do things yourself, but I think that's a certainly an advantage of buying real estate is it's another form of income for people. And it kind of gets, in my opinion, it gets you to your goals quicker. It can, right?
Yeah.
Obviously there's risks associated, but it can get you to your goals quicker by having a variety of different investments.
Right. So moving on down, I like that one. Lower volatility. Talk to me about volatility.
Sure. So oftentimes,
as an advantage in real estate.
Right. So oftentimes in investments, we talk about volatility, right? You know, you have your stocks, your bonds, your real estate, you know, investing in a company, a startup or something like that. And so there's certain, historically, real estate is seen as a lower volatility form of an investment from the standpoint that, and we can it kind of ties in with the next one as well, because it's a tangible asset. You know, oftentimes with the volatility, especially in commercial real estate, you know, there's a lease associated with it. And typically an average lease in commercial real estate is about 5 years. So it gives people like a peace of mind to say, oh my gosh, I have signed a lease for 5 years. I know that I am okay for the next 5 years, right? I know that I will be getting X because it's usually negotiated. If they sign a 5-year lease, the terms are usually negotiated in the lease. So, okay, I know exactly what I'm going to get in rent and what my tenant is going to be paying for. You know that, and you have that for about 5 years. So in regards to lower volatility, that is like the real specific reason why it is in lower volatility. You know, the volatility part, right? These next few points will kind of play into that as well. So we can kind of go into it. Like I said, it's a tangible asset, right? It's something that you can touch. It's something you can feel. You can go and physically show up and say, gosh, I own that place.
And it's real.
And it's real. It's real property, right? It's not like it's a piece of paper like a stock or
a note of some kind.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, I have this stock, but I can't touch it. I can't feel it. I don't know. It's just there.
It's a representation of value versus something right in front of you that has inherent value right
So
there.
That for sure is another advantage, just having it be a tangible asset. Another really big one, I think, too, Tanner, is, like I said, all this kind of goes together, is the ability to increase the performance. Now, obviously, the performance can decrease as well, but that's usually because of market trends and things like that. But you, as an owner, would have an ability to increase or influence the performance of the building. So some people will say, well, you know, how do we do that, right? How do you manage to do something like that? Well, an obvious thing is doing some upgrades to the property, right?
Right.
So let's, use a single family home, for example, right? Bathrooms and kitchens are old. I know people tend to say that is the thing that, like, brings up rents, increases the value of your property the most. You can sell it for more if those two things are done, right? So you take care of your property. You put in, whatever, an improvement, new carpet, whatever it might be, which then hopefully will allow you to raise rents, which means that you'll be making more money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, there's a risk and reward with that, right? Like, you got to make sure it makes sense. You know, like, if you think that by putting in a $5,000 remodel of a bathroom.
I was going to say a $20,000, $30,000 kitchen.
Yeah, and you think it's only going to seriously increase your rent by like $100. Well, maybe that's not the best use of your money. Maybe you should tone it down
a
little
bit.
That's
not a foolproof. It's not foolproof. You can't just pump a bunch of money into it and just be like, this will be great.
Right. So you got to obviously have a thought process to that. It's got to make some sense. There has to be a certain payoff to that, right?
Yeah.
Where you know that you can get a little more rent and there's a certain payoff and whatever that threshold would be. Maybe you say, oh, I'd like to get my money back from this in 3 years. What do I need to do? How much money do I need to increase rent? But it is a huge advantage because when you think about other types of investments, once again, let's just go to stocks again. We can't influence that ourselves.
No.
You know, it's not like we can say, oh, we're going to, you can just pump in money to the company in order to, you know what I mean? I don't know. But you can't do that. So there's certain things that you can do to help influence that.
Right.
And I think that's a huge advantage to owning real estate.
Maybe that's just touching on another advantage of, maybe someone who's not as savvy with the intangibles like notes and stocks and that kind of thing. I think it's maybe a little easier for maybe certain investors to wrap their head around, like, oh, I can just improve this property and I'm going to get more money.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm a frugal person. I know if I, fix up this bathroom this way, or if it's a commercial one, if I proposition it this way, I'll be able to increase my rents and increase my return. I don't know. I think for certain mindsets, it's easier to process some of those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I think you're exactly right. And I don't know. I mean,
because it's tangible. Because it's tangible.
Exactly. Because it's tangible. I mean, that's what it goes back to, right? And I know, like, that's how kind of I got started, too. Like, my brother and I bought a duplex. I don't know. I'm looking at the date. I think it was 10 years ago. The duplex needed help. It did. But, like, now my brother and I are going through, like, the refinance. And honest to God, I think there's the improvements that we did has made, I believe, our property that much more valuable, which kind of goes into also another advantage, which is the appreciation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, as you hold on to the property, as you improve the property, it appreciates in value. So when you go off to sell it or refinance it, right? Hopefully, the hope, right? And it should, historically, it should be worth more than when you bought it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that that's the case, we haven't gotten an appraisal done yet on the duplex. We're just beginning the process of doing the refinance. But I'm guessing that, man, what I bought it for, it's going to be worth far more than what we bought it for
mm-hmm.
in 2010. So, I mean, that's another huge advantage is the appreciation of property. And that's something, like I said, historically that, you know, obviously you don't want your property to go down in value, but historically values of property goes up. Obviously it deals with market trends and what's going on in the world, but historically, you know, your property will appreciate in value, which is a huge, huge, huge advantage to owning real estate. Tanner, do you have any investment real estate outside of your house?
Just my house right now, but we're going through the process of making that a rental right now.
Oh,
so I've applied. All I have to do is pay the city and get them in there to inspect it to make sure it's good to go. We've started looking at our just next property, and we're going to convert this primary into a rental, and that'll be our first investment property.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's really cool. Yeah, well, I mean, I love that idea, and I know you're probably looking at, you know, all these things too, and where you're at and where you're going, and, you know, just real estate is a great vehicle for people, and I think we said earlier, like, people oftentimes think that it's so difficult to get into, but, you know, it's really not. You just need to understand. You know, I think the very first thing is understand your advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah.
And then jump in.
I'm right on the edge right now. I'm like, we're really close
right.
to like pulling the trigger. And it's like, all right.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Right. I mean, another thing too, I mean, we got a couple more advantages I think that we can talk about.
Leverage.
Yeah. Leverage, right? You have leverage. So...
Or maybe we should end on leverage.
Sure.
That'll take us into. Let's talk
okay.
about maybe some of the tax advantages,
oh,
and then we'll
sure.
then we'll jump back to leverage.
Yeah. So there are absolutely some tax advantages associated with that, right? And we always say you want to make sure that you talk to your accountant before you do any type of investing in real estate. It's
mm-hmm.
really important to do that. That's part of building your team, and I think probably in future podcasts, maybe the next one, we could talk about like actually how you get started. And building your team is actually one of the very first things that you need to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
But having that accountant there to kind of help you out, because there's going to be certain things that they know that just not everybody knows, you know. And
mm-hmm.
we as real estate professionals, we have an idea. We do have some knowledge, but your accountant is going to be the person that really is going to drive that home, because they do that on a regular basis, and they're going to be able to give you the best advice out of everybody. We're not obviously accountants.
Right.
Just like we're not attorneys.
As cool as we are,
yeah,
we
right.
can't do it all.
Yeah, exactly. But the tax advantages are definitely there, and there's certain tax implications that can be very advantageous for real estate investors. And
mm-hmm.
one of them, obviously, like appreciation, there also is depreciation.
Mm-hmm.
So you can depreciate certain things, you know, like your... Oh, certain equipment, right, and,
mm-hmm.
and the property, and that'll give you some tax write-offs and things like that. That'll, in the end, help with your year-end income and filing your taxes. So there's obviously certain things with depreciation that is going to be very, very helpful. And then even to, you know, obviously we're not going to hit on these things because we only have, you know, 20 minutes, but... So we're kind of probably pretty vague out there. Sorry, everybody, but there's definitely ways. We just want to give you guys ideas.
Yeah, this is very high level, just kind of
right.
what are the advantages, what are the disadvantages,
right.
high level. If you like, you know, if you want to dig further, there's lots of these terms that you can dig into on the internet, and we'll go into further detail
yeah.
on further podcasts,
right.
but yeah, this is a high level.
But another tax advantage that people oftentimes talk about, and this could probably be an entire segment, honestly,
oh, yeah.
is 1031 exchanges.
Yeah.
So oftentimes people will do 1031 exchanges, but I think there's some common misconceptions about this. I think people oftentimes think that, oh, if I do a 1031 exchange, I don't have to pay the tax. Okay. Let's be serious. Yes, at the moment you don't have to pay the tax, but it's called a tax deferred exchange, which means you will pay the tax down the line.
Someday.
It might not be you, it could be your kids, but someone's going to have to pay that tax. But nonetheless, it is a big tax advantage in order to do that because it allows you to take your capital gains from a property and to move those capital gains and not be taxed at that time and use those funds to buy purchase a like-kind property.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another huge advantage to owning real estate. And that's typically used in the commercial world. There's a lot of people that do that. If you're just getting started, you don't necessarily need to like think about that right now, because I know that's a whole nother ball game. That's a whole nother thing to think about. But once again, consult with your accountant, and they can help you out with this. And the attorneys will also as well, because there's obviously certain paperwork that needs to go into that when you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another huge advantage for investors in real estate.
Got it. So our last advantage is leverage, and then we can jump over to the disadvantages.
Sure.
So leveraging the property,
yeah,
taking some of the value out to purchase another property,
yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah.
That's a huge advantage, but it also plays into risk.
Right, it does. I mean, and leverage is a good thing too. Like, I know people that have exactly what you're saying. They'll go and they'll
equity
lines of credit. They'll go in and do a refinance, and they'll find, oh my gosh, I only owe $100,000 on my property, and it's worth $250,000. And as long as you hit the loan to value ratio and the debt coverage ratio from the banks will allow you to take money out, which is you know, something obviously that you want to talk to your accountant about. But you know, you can take money out, and then you can put that money towards another property, and it's a way to continue to build your wealth. It's a way to continue to build your real estate empire and get into bigger and bigger deals too. I mean, it's a really great vehicle and way to continue to build on what you've already established. And so, yeah, there's a ton of advantages. And I would love to say that there are only advantages, right? being in the business and trying to sell real estate and for people and represent buyers and sellers. But there obviously are disadvantages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those need to be discussed as well, because we're here to build relationships, and we want to make sure that with every client, it's the right thing and they're doing it for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has, you know, everybody has a certain level of risk tolerance. Everybody has a reason why they're doing this, but it has to be the right fit, and everybody's different.
Yeah.
Everybody's different.
Yeah.
Some people might be looking for not as high of a return. Some people might be looking for a really high. Like, there's all these.
Well, that's another
that
great thing
this.
About encapsulated in real estate investing. There are paths for being very conservative with it,
yeah,
and then there's also paths for being very aggressive with
yeah
it.
Like, right,
like, you know, doing lots of leverage.
Right.
Which is a great segue into the disadvantages, which
right
is risk. You can over leverage yourself,
yeah,
and put yourself in a lot of risk that way.
Right.
You know, higher risk, higher reward, but where do you draw that line?
Right.
You know?
And the good thing about, you know, real estate is that it's typically, right, it should be a calculated risk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, we're not miracle workers, and things can go the other way. You can get, you know, the P&Ls and base of projection and a pro forma on what the property is currently doing. But, you know, all that, and so you're basing it off of actual information, which is great. I mean,
mm-hmm,
that's a really great way to calculate everything. And it is, it's a calculated risk. But things happen. I mean, who would have ever guessed that COVID would happen?
Right, which is which has disrupted, you know, rents and, you know, the asset class as a whole. You know?
Right. And how do you know,
well,
something like
nothing
this would, you know, how do you know how much it would affect something? I don't know. Nobody knows. Like, no,
mm-hmm,
nobody knows how a pandemic or a
right,
you know, something other, something else, like how it's actually going to affect. Nobody actually knows.
Right. But I wouldn't say don't invest in real estate because of those big things.
Right.
Because if we look at historically,
yeah,
things like this don't happen often.
Right.
Slash, you know, this is kind of a first in a way.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't let that one dissuade someone from investing in real estate because, again, historically,
yeah,
that's not a norm.
And historically, you know, it's like it's a curve. It's a bell curve, right? It goes up and down. It's like a wave, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes up and down. And real estate is cyclical. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way to, I think, it puts us all in check a little bit. Then, you know,
reality.
Things, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of like the way life is, right?
It's
like,
a good investment, yeah. But it's not a magic investment.
So there is risk involved,
yeah.
Which once again, everybody has to feel comfortable with that risk. The good thing about it, like we said earlier, was that it's a calculated risk.
Yeah.
So that should make you feel a little bit better. And like I said, to the advantages when we talked about the ability to increase in influence, that should help with the risk a little bit too. But make sure, you know, that you're doing this for the right reasons and that you understand the risks that are involved, because nothing is a given, and all you can do is, plan accordingly, do the best that you can. And that's, you know, that's where we're at with risk. But
yeah.
You know, it is a risk. It is. You know, and there's that potential lack of liquidity, you know. So let's say, I want to buy another property. I don't really have a lot of cash, so I want to borrow from my current property. Well, you might not have a lot of liquidity. You might not,
mm-hmm.
And it's not like you can say, oh, I need cash now. I'm going to sell my property and then get the cash.
Right.
Well,
you can't just put in a sell order like
yeah.
a stock and you're done.
Yeah.
Obviously, people know
it takes time.
Right.
And you don't know like what the market is going to be like. So if you need the money now,
the market might not, it might be an awful time to sell.
So that's the other thing. And so it does tie some of your money up. And if you don't have that buffer, you don't have that liquidity in the property where you could pull money out,
mm-hmm.
and you need something like now, that could be a disadvantage. It's not like having the money in the bank,
yeah.
right? And it's like, oh, well, or a stock even, right? You can
right.
say, oh, well, I'm going to sell the stock and I'm going to get that money, you know, tomorrow. It's going to be
right,
in my bank
right.
account. So that is something that is a disadvantage of owning real estate. I mean, it just is. And then, you know, of course, the expenses that are involved with it, right? Like, I think people often think, oh, well, if you own real estate, you've made it and you have all this money. And it's like,
Yes and no.
I mean, yeah, you have money.
You could have a lot of properties and be like kind of broke.
You could be property rich but cash
yeah,
poor.
Right.
And, you know, that could be a problem. It could. It might not be also. It's just kind
yeah,
of
you have a high net worth
going.
But
yeah.
no cash.
No cash. But expenses, right? Like you're going to have the monthly expenses of a mortgage payment and the liability. You're going to have to pay insurance. You're going to have to pay for repairs and
yeah.
maintenance.
And those things don't care if you have a tenant or not.
Right. Because
yeah.
you could lose a tenant. And then guess what? You have
those
no
expenses,
income coming
the
in.
Expenses are still
and
there.
They're coming out of your pocket.
Yeah. But like you said, they are calculated.
Yes,
it's
they
not
are.
Unlike, you know, a stock that can free fall.
Right.
You know.
No, that's true. And those expenses, right, you can plan for those. Like, that's
yes.
the other thing,
and
right?
And you can have reserves.
And that's a huge thing. Make sure, whatever you do. I remember my dad would always tell me, even before I had a job, I remember him telling me when I was a little kid, like, it's not about how much you make, it's how much you save. That same principle goes into effect
mm-hmm.
with owning real estate.
Yeah.
It's, you know, sure, we want that cash out. We want a disbursement, whatever it might be. But make sure you build a reserve, because
mm-hmm.
that is what's going to carry you through. That's kind of it's your emergency fund.
Yeah.
That's what's going to carry you through the hard times. It's also going to help with potential improvements that you weren't aware of or weren't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So always, always, always carry a reserve.
Is there a general rule of thumb you use for the size of reserve to an investment?
I mean, I think there is like a typical percentage that people will use. They typically use like 4 to 6%.
Okay.
But, you know, it's just, it's all going to depend
what,
of your income.
What kind of
income.
Asset? What kind of?
So like, yeah, I mean, I think 4 to 6% for, you know, if you have like an apartment building, but you might be like, oh, well, Nick, that's like nothing. Like 4% if I'm getting, you know, 5% or whatever it might be, you know, it's just like, it's a couple $100. Well, you know, put more away then. Like, just
yeah.
make sure you're putting away enough.
And I would also say, even if it is something small like that on a smaller asset, gosh, it's not going to hurt when you need it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Even
you know?
If it is only 4%.
Yeah.
If you've been adding that up for a few months, it's going to be
it's
a little sum. And, you know, that'll take care of a medium to small repair.
Yeah, I mean, I can give you an example on our duplex. I mean, it's, you know, my brother and I put away like $200 a month. And
yeah.
It's like, is that a lot? It's like, no, but it's a smaller property. And, you know, we haven't, thank God, haven't had to have any like major repairs.
Mm-hmm.
But if we need to use it for something, yeah, if we need to take $1,000 out for something, we can do that. Oh, a hot water heater goes out. That's, you know, $500. Okay, well, all right, we'll take it out of the reserve, and we know that'll get replenished in
yeah.
2 months. So,
yeah.
2-3 months. So, yeah, make sure you have a reserve.
That's a great way to mitigate. Well, and that's, you know, again, maybe an advantage is you can calculate this, and there's lots of steps you can take to counter some of the disadvantages. So, just kind of recapping a little bit, the disadvantages were expenses, risk, and lack of liquidity. And there's a lot you can do to combat some of those disadvantages. You know,
yeah.
for risk, you can be a little more conservative with your leveraging.
Yeah.
Don't over-leverage properties, you
yes.
know, and do your homework. Expenses, know what they are and have reserves. Lack of liquidity, I'm not sure if there's much you can do with that one, except know that, you know, depending on your type of investments, you're in it for the long haul.
Right.
Don't be, you know, try to position yourself where you don't have to sell at the worst times,
right.
you know, but again, that kind of plays into the risk, not over leveraging and
yeah.
kind of playing your cards right. So there's lots of great things you can do to kind of mitigate those disadvantages we went
yeah.
through.
Yeah.
And then to kind of recap on the risks or the advantages rather, the income stream, the income potential, lower volatility compared to other investments. It's tangible. You can touch it. The ability to increase, you know, the performance, to be able to increase the value, both with the market, the appreciation, and you just upgrading the property within reason, leveraging, which is a two-edged sword,
mm-hmm.
as we know, and the tax advantages
right.
that are available that are very unique in this asset class and great to take advantage of. Is there anything else?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that's probably a good start and probably some decent information. I mean, if people have questions or anything like that, like, once again, we're here.
Yeah, we're available. We want to talk to you guys. If you've got questions, we'd be happy to answer them and talk with you. So what's the best way for them to get a hold of us, Nick?
Well, you can call our number, which is 507-289-8000, or you can email Tanner or myself or both of us. We'd love to hear from you. Tanner's email is Tanner@RGI-group.com, and mine is Nick@RGI-group.com. Would love to talk to you, continue to educate people, because that's part of our job too, is educating people.
Yeah.
It's so important. It's
and
so
it's
important.
Fun.
And it's fun. And we love doing this. This is what we do.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thanks, Nick. This has been a good episode, and I'm looking forward to more. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Realty Growth Report.